Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Amen. We're going to have a good time in the Lord today. I believe God's going to minister to you. Amen. Real quick, as you've noticed, there's been a little bit of a change. We've gone back to video announcements, and so we really are kind of just trying to figure out the best way to do announcements and to communicate. Sometimes that seems a lot harder than what it is. And I, truth be known, if you really want to know the truth, is I'm probably the one that's putting the wrench in the works. Because normally what people do in churches, they do the announcements after song service, and then, you know, they do announcements, offering, then they go into preaching. Well, I just can't have it that way. And the reason I can't have it that way is I love to come into the ministry of the word following the song service. And the reason is, you think about it for a moment. Here we spend this time worshiping the Lord, developing and coming in, preparing our hearts, coming into his presence. And then we have this moment like it's flat. It's not, it doesn't make sense to me. So anyway, we're going to figure it out, and we'll do stuff. So you just bear with us. It'll be all good. Amen. And God's going to help us. One quick announcement that we want to remind you of, that our holiday party is going to be at 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock on the 8th. And so we are going to have a great time, and we just want to fellowship together, and just we're a family, amen. And so we want to be together with family. So just mark that down, and please sign up to have a dish to pass, and we'll have a good time there. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. In a few days, everyone is going to gather together for a day of celebration. Amen. We know it is Thanksgiving. It's a day that probably, if you've lived any length of time, you've had many, many Thanksgivings under your belt. Can you say? And literally under your belt. Amen. It's amazing. I wrote down in my notes, not really even knowing or understanding, I wrote this down, millions of pounds of turkey are consumed every Thanksgiving. And that's actually not true. This morning when I was in my office before I came in, I looked it up. How much turkey does Americans eat on Thanksgiving? And do you know that we eat 5 billion pounds? 46 million turkeys, 5 billion pounds of turkey every Thanksgiving. We have mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing and cranberries and a host of other side dishes that crowd the table. Can you say amen? Families will fill themselves to overflowing, and then we all huddle around the TV and we watch football and various things. We watch parades, and we all have a critique of the floats that are in the various parades, and we laugh, we cry, we fight, and then we eat some more. Amen? If you're like any American family. But the question this morning is, will we be thankful? Will we be thankful? Thanksgiving, church, is not just another day we celebrate once a year. But Thanksgiving is a lifestyle that is meant to be lived every day. Amen. Listen to me. If you'll catch this, this will help you. I know that it has helped me, because there's been a lot of seasons in my life where I went multiple days, weeks, months without being thankful, and I carried the weight and the burden of the lack of thanksgiving, of the lack of thankfulness. And I have learned the power of thanksgiving, because thanksgiving is more than a holiday. It's an attitude. It's a lifestyle immersed in gratitude towards the goodness and the graciousness of our Father in heaven. How many would agree with me that God's been good to us? You know, there's a lot of things that we could complain about in this life, and oftentimes we do. But when you stop and you really look around and you begin to measure your life, you begin to measure what you have, There's a lot to be thankful for. Can you say amen? Especially for those of us that live in America. Listen, I'm not here to beat any particular drum, but I am here to say that we live in a great blessed place. Even with all of the problems we face and our American culture and the politics and the different things that often go on as a part of the American reality, we still live in the greatest country in the world. Trust me. If you've gone overseas, if you've been even to other countries, even what are considered westernized countries like England and countries in Europe like Germany and Spain and Italy and these kinds of places, you'll find that even in those places, they don't have what we have. Right. Are you hearing me? They just don't. We have a freedom here, and we have a reality of blessing here that is pretty remarkable. I believe it's the hand of God because this country was started on Christian principles. We're not doing so well on the Christian thing as far as our politics go, but we can get it back. Can you say amen? We can bring it back. God will bring it back if we will remain faithful and true to His word. And so Thanksgiving this morning is something we need to pay attention to. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. The Bible says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Listen, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I want you just for a moment to pay attention to that last phrase, because many of us, and I don't know how many times I have asked this question, and I don't know how many times this question has been asked of me, is what is the will of God for my life? Well, right here, the Word of God is giving it to us very plainly. You got to love that. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God for you. This is God's will for you. This is what God would have you to do. Why? Because Thanksgiving this morning has a profound impact on our walk of faith. Listen to what I'm saying. Thanksgiving has a profound impact on our walk of faith. And I want you to think about this for a moment, because there's a few areas that it really shows up. The first and probably the foremost is that Thanksgiving opens our eyes to God's continuous work in our lives, making us more and more aware of His blessing and prompting us to seek Him more and more. When you come into Thanksgiving, when you truly begin to thank God for what He has done and what He is doing, it will open your eyes. Amen. You know, a lot of times there are people that will say to me, I would love to just see God move. Sometimes the reason that we don't see God move is because we won't pay attention to the little things. God says, if you will be faithful with the little, I will make you ruler over much. Isn't that what the Bible says? And if we will be thankful, even in those things that seem to be insignificant, what we will find is we will find God opening our eyes to more and more and more, and that literally, that Thanksgiving, that dynamic of Thanksgiving brings us into a place where faith is empowered, where we believe Him for more and for more. Can you say amen? The second thing it does is by being thankful and acknowledging God's work in our lives and being thankful for what He has already done, He stirs us up. He stirs something inside us. There is this desire to believe Him for greater and greater things. When you're thankful, it's like, God, I just thank You so much for what You've done in this situation. God, I thank You for what You're doing here. I thank You for what You're doing there. When you are thankful, it stirs something in you to believe Him for greater and greater promises. Gratefulness, the third thing, gratefulness dispels anxiety. It casts out fear and worry. And what it brings instead is it gives God's peace. It brings God's peace to the situation when we are thankful. Amen. God's peace begins to be poured out upon us. We begin to feel that calm. We begin to feel that confidence that God, in fact, is at work in our lives. When we are thankful, the act of giving thanks fosters a spirit of contentment. It fosters this spirit of joy that's working inside us, which uplifts us and strengthens us spiritually. Yes. When we are thankful.
Amen.
You know how you know this is true? Because do the opposite.
Right.
And all of those things will be lost.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Thankfulness wards off negativity. It's easy to be negative. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I don't know if you find this to be true in your life, but I know I find this to be true in my life. It does not take much skill or energy to find something negative in life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You can find mistakes. You can find problems. There's always something going haywire somewhere. There's always something up. And we can find that very easily. And the reality is, as human beings, we are kind of hardwired because of sin, because of what sin did to us. It kind of manipulated us, so we have to allow that thing that God does to change this. But sometimes it's just easier to think negative.
Right.
Amen. That's why negative news gets the front page.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, think about it for a moment. Even in the Christian world, there are certain magazines that I get every now and then, and they're Christian magazines, and every now and then they will have a story about the latest pastor that's in a scandal. Why are they doing that? Because it sells magazines. Amen. I'd like to think that Christian magazines don't want to peddle that kind of thing, but the reality is they do, because they know we'll be interested. It catches our attention. So-and-so did this, or so-and-so did that, and we don't even know if they did. They could be accused, and the accusation is enough because we embrace negativity. But you want to dispel that? Be thankful. You want to dispel that in your life? Be thankful. Allow yourself to find something to be thankful for. Can you say amen?
Amen?
In our text, Paul is telling us that thanksgiving is the will of God for our lives, and he directly says, in everything, give thanks. No exceptions, no excuses, nothing is outside those parameters. In everything, he says, give thanks. Now, what does that mean? It means that thanksgiving is appropriate in every occasion. Giving thanks is not an option for you and I. Giving thanks in everything, in all circumstances, in all situations, all the time. Now, here's what Paul is not saying. Paul is not saying to give thanks for everything. In other words, I don't give thanks for the negative. I give thanks in the negative. I give thanks that God is higher than the negative. I give thanks that God is my healer, my provider. He is my leader. He is my Lord and Savior. He is my shepherd. He is my victory. He is everything I need. Even though right now I may be experiencing something that is less than positive, it's not really fun, it's not really good, in that moment I can still remain thankful for Him. In that moment, I can be thankful. I don't have to be thankful for the moment, but I can be thankful in the moment. Can you say amen? In every circumstance, no matter what or where, we can still thank God. And God says, that is my will for you. Thanksgiving should naturally abound in the life of every growing Christian. Are you hearing me? Thanksgiving is a natural response to the grace, the goodness, and the love of our Father in heaven.
Yes.
And thanksgiving should overflow in every way from our lives. Listen to these verses of Scripture. Think about these for a moment. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17 in the New Living Translation says this: "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are all called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the words of Christ in all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do and say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through him to God the Father." Notice in that passage, three times he talks about being thankful, having a thankful heart, giving of thanks, and always being thankful. Why? Because that is the secret. Being thankful is the secret to all the rest of the stuff. It's being thankful. There's something about that that changes everything. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Are you hearing me? See, thankfulness cannot just be an attitude we possess in our heart, but it's got to be a message we speak. It's the fruit of our lips, being thankful. It is a part of how we praise God. Amen. It's a part of our worship, being thankful to him. Colossians 4:2, "Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart." Amen. Listen to it again. Devote yourselves to prayer. We get that. Many of us pray. We have great prayer lives. We're prayer warriors. We spend time in prayer. He says, but here's how you do that. Here is how you come to this thing called prayer: with an alert mind and a thankful heart. In other words, pay attention and be thankful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. Do you notice something, how that protection and peace and contentment and all of these joy, all of these security, all of these very positive things are linked with this idea of thankfulness? The common denominator in all of these scriptures is being thankful. It's a part of the process, but oftentimes it's something that is left out. It's something that is oftentimes forgotten about. It's amazing how much the Bible shows us that thanksgiving is a natural part of our prayer life. How can we pray this morning without first giving thanks for all that he's done? So you may wonder this morning, how do we cultivate this attitude of gratitude? Well, first, we need to start with a humble heart. I cannot tell you how important humility is. Not humiliation, humility. Being humble, surrendered. A heart that has been given over to God. A heart that acknowledges its dependence on the Lord and recognizes his sovereign authority over our lives. It's that place where we recognize that without him, I can do nothing. Amen. I can't even take the breath in my lungs right now. Amen. Secondly, we make a habit to thank God for every little blessing, every act of kindness shown to us, every good thing we possess, because all good gifts come from our Lord. You know, I've wrestled this thought for a little while in my life, because sometimes this kind of can come across a little phony. It can come across a little bit like, you know, what's all that about? Meaning, what I mean by that is that if you become thankful to God, if somebody comes up to you and just shakes your hand and says, "God bless you, brother," and you walk away from that and you go, "You know what, God, thank you for that person in my life." You could sit back, because the devil will come along and go, "What are you doing? That ain't nothing. That was about them. That wasn't about God." Or if you get a good parking spot at Walmart, or if you get you get a really good waitress at Denny's, or you find a quarter on the ground and you go, you know what, thank God. Yeah. You know, a lot of times what can happen is the devil will come and go, that ain't nothing. What are you thanking God for? What's the big deal? And we can kind of take the air out of it, can't we? We can kind of poke holes into it. We could go, oh, that's just circumstantial. But let me tell you something, church. If you can't thank God for the little thing, you'll never thank God for the big thing. And what we need to do is realize that God is far more active in our lives than we may ever know. Even in the little things. Sometimes we reserve the little things for coincidence. Sometimes we go, well, that's just the outcome of situation and circumstance, or that's just a coincidence. Well, I declare to you today that it is God that's at work in my life, and I'm choosing right now to give him glory and thanksgiving for everything he does. Amen. So what if he didn't do it? Well, he gets the glory anyway. What if he wasn't a part of it? Well, he gets thanked anyway. Because somewhere along the line, I want his goodness in my life. I want him to know that I love him and I appreciate him. You all know this morning, all of us know this morning, the power of appreciation. You know it. When somebody comes up to you and says, hey man, thanks for doing that job. Or somebody comes up and says, thanks for helping me out, or thanks for being there. It moves you. It touches you. It makes you want to do more. But when somebody demands something, or they feel entitled and they treat you such, it makes you want to shut down. I wonder how much of this goes on in the spirit realm. That if we would just be thankful, we would see the power of heaven move on a more regular basis. Because that thankfulness opens those doors. Can you say amen? And finally, we thank God, not just in the easy times of abundance, but we also thank God in the challenging times. That we make a habit of saying, you know what, God, I don't care what it looks like around me. Right now I got bills I can't pay. Right now there's circumstances that I don't know how to fix. There's dynamics that are at work in my marriage, in my home, in my family, my children, on my job. I don't know what to do, but God, I know you do. And I am thankful that you know what you're going to do. You may not have shown me, and I may not even, it might be above my pay grade. I may not even have the ability to understand what you're doing. But God, I know you're at work, and I thank you for what you're doing and going to do in my life. But there's a problem with all of this. And the problem is this, is that thanksgiving does not come naturally to us. It's so easy to take things for granted. It's so easy to complain and grumble about all that's wrong, especially in difficult times. Listen to me. I want to bring a challenge to you in this moment, because I know how easy it is for me. I know how easy it is for me to go from the pinnacle on the mountaintop to the lowest of valleys, how fast that transition can happen. To be shouting God's praise and then wondering why I feel like a dirty dog. Amen. It's so easy. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, he says this, in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing so no one can speak a word of blame against you. Let me ask a question. I'm going to tell you a story. It just recently happened to me. This happened, I believe it was last weekend it happened. I'll tell you, but let me ask you a question before I tell you my story. Have you ever met somebody who was a complainer? Don't raise your hand. And don't elbow your wife or your husband. Nothing makes them happy. Nothing satisfies them. Nothing brings joy. Nothing fulfills, except one thing, and that's to complain. Kathy and I had gone down to Phoenix. Was it last weekend that we went? Yeah, so we went down to Phoenix last weekend for Christine's wedding. And we were in a real nice area of town. We were down in Gilbert, and she had for her wedding, she had a beautiful venue. The weather was perfect. We were outdoors, the temperature was just perfect, and you know, sitting outside, and it was in the evening, and we're sitting there, and you know, I love big cities, I really do. I like the lights. From the time I was a little kid, I was always enamored with going into the city, you know, and I like that, and I like the amenities. I like, you know, restaurants on every corner. I like a variety of restaurants. You know, I like a variety of stores. I like more than the dollar store. And so I digress. But anyway, so we were driving home. And as we were driving home, I was just thinking about that area of town. And I was thinking, man, I would love to live there. I would love there. And I kind of got a little bit grumbly in my spirit. Now, I'm not saying anything to Kathy. This is all happening internally. And I'm thinking, you know, why is it, God, do you put me in Kingman? What you guys don't understand, let me just, if those of you that are familiar with Arizona, the first place I preached was in a little restaurant in Yucca. Yeah, Jeff Adams and I did a satellite work in Yucca for a year. The first place I pastored was Needles, California. Yeah, no, it gets worse. When I came back to Kingman, I started another satellite work in Dolan Springs, at the Dolan Springs Community Center. That's the big time right there, man. For 5 years, I lived in Holbrook, Arizona. I am sorry to hear that. Holbrook, Arizona, lived there 5 years. And then when ministry really began to break, here I am in Kingman. I told Kathy, when I met Kathy, I said, I'm getting you out of Kingman, man. I'm getting you out. I got her all the way to Needles. She said, take me home. Let's go back to the... I remember when we were in Needles, we would come to Kingman and it would feel like the big city. And so as I'm in the truck driving, we're out somewhere between Wickiup and Wickenburg. Yeah, now you know where this is all happening. And I am just lamenting. I'm like, why, God, why not a big city? Why? Why not somewhere where I have a nice house and there's a Olive Garden and an Outback and, you know, all those nice res, all the good stuff. And I'm sitting there and I'm just lamenting it. And you know how you pause in your complaint and then all of a sudden the still small voice comes? And the still small voice said, well, maybe if you were thankful for what you have, you might have more. And I actually did. I think I said to her, well, I need to shut up. I wasn't talking. I need to be thankful. And that's the truth. See, the thing is we can start to complain. Complaining comes natural to us. It's a serious problem. And it's been affecting us for a very long time. And there is no one in the Word of God more proficient in complaining than the children of Israel were. 25 times. In the Bible, it records the children of Israel complaining after they left Egypt. Think about that. I mean, they were the witness, eyewitness of 10 supernatural, off-the-hook miracles. Not to mention the parting of the Red Sea. Not to mention that God caused bread to fall from heaven. Not to mention that he quenched their thirst by providing water for over 1 million people and all their livestock out of a rock. Yeah. Not to mention that their shoes never wore out or their clothes never wore out. They were never sick. That whole time. But they complained. They complained about the leaks and the not having leaks. Who would ever be so down is that they go, I want some leeks and onions. I don't know what a leek is. I hate onions. Who would ever complain, oh, you know, this manna, I'd rather have a leek. Yeah, I'd rather have an onion. The truth about complaining Complaining brings with it discontentment. It grows into a dissatisfaction. It matures into a habit of complaining. And in the end, the habit of complaining becomes a curse of destruction. Amen. Are you hearing me? Complaining magnifies the past. It vilifies the present. And without regard to truth or reason, it robs us of our joy. It destroys our peace. It hinders our forward progress, undermines our faith, and brings about a curse that makes us vulnerable to attack. That's why we need to be thankful. I know here on Thursday we're going to have a variety of different foods. Some are you going to have traditional turkey and mashed potatoes and dressing and all that. Some of you are going to have steak. Some of you are going to have roast beef. Some of you have lasagna. Some of you might just go out to eat. But we're all going to be celebrating in some way the holiday known as Thanksgiving. The question is, will we be thankful? And will we remain thankful? Because Thanksgiving is not just another day. It's something that we need that will draw us closer to God. It will fill us with joy. It will nurture our faith. And ultimately, it will transform us into being more and more like Him. Can you say amen? I want to leave you with this thought today as I'm closing. Jason can come if he'd like. Thanksgiving really is an act of remembering, but it is also an act of declaration. Sometimes, because it's so easy to be swayed by the negative, we can become forgetful. We become forgetful of what God's already done, and we fail to remember the goodness of God in our lives. And when we fail to remember the goodness of God in our lives, we will fail to speak the goodness of God into our future. We will literally not only undermine our present, we will change our future by the lack of thanksgiving. But when we are thankful, when we remember the works of God, something not only happens in our present, but something very powerful happens in our future. Can you say amen? Psalm 77, 11 through 12 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your works and talk of your deeds. There's something about that that gives us confidence for the future. Psalms 107:1 says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. This psalm is actually called a psalm of remembrance. Later on in verse 21 and 22 of the same psalm, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Sometimes thanksgiving is a sacrifice, because sometimes our view does get clouded. In our humanity, sometimes it's hard to see. But I guarantee you that God is faithful 100% of the time. God is good all the time. And God always has your best interest at heart, no matter what may be going on in your life. And I could guarantee you this, God is at work right now. And so therefore, you can be thankful. You can be thankful. You can say, you know what, Father? Don't understand what's happening, but I'm thankful that you are involved in this situation right now. So this Thanksgiving season, Really allow that to come up and allow God to really give you perspective about the power of thanksgiving. Can you say amen this morning? Why don't you bow your heads with me? Father, we're so thankful today We thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy in our lives. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you are doing. Father, we ask you to help us. Sometimes being thankful, Lord, is not the easiest thing for us because sometimes we get our eyes on so many other things. Help us to discipline our life, God, to push aside the complaints and the negative, to put our eyes, God, on the things that you are doing, the things that we know about you. Even if we can't see it in the moment, Lord, that our faith will penetrate beyond the moment and see you at work, that our faith will embrace the truth that you are working in our lives, that you are bringing your will to pass in our lives for our good and for your glory. Father, this Thanksgiving season, help us to be thankful for all that you've provided for us, all that you've done for us, all that you are doing for us. Even those in those moments, God, where we get together with family and those that we've had trouble with in the past, help us to be thankful for them, knowing that this may be the road to restoration. Father, I pray right now over this congregation, over this people, that your thanksgiving power would rest upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the ministry team if they would come up front. If you have a need of any kind, come on up, let them pray for you. We're going to release you today. God bless you. Remember, there'll be no Wednesday night service. Enjoy your family and Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.